Always great when I get to have a doctor in the studio, especially the doctor I have today, Dr. Saeed Ajmal today. I got it right, Doc?
Yes.
I think. Yeah. I've been practicing for like 2 days. So good to have you in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Ajmal is a bariatric surgeon, New Life Weight Loss Center. How long have you been? How long have you been in Southern Illinois?
I've been in Southern Illinois for about 5 months now.
Yeah? How you like it?
It's very nice.
Good. It's my home. I want you to be happy.
I like that.
I'm one of those, that Southern hospitality thing. You maybe you've heard of it.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. You know, come on, have some fried chicken and enjoy yourself and barbecue. Come on, let's go have some fun.
So, absolutely.
I hope you enjoy yourself. Well, isn't it weird that I said, come on, let's celebrate. Let's go eat. Isn't that weird? Especially when you're the subject here today, which is bariatric surgery. I'm going to get to that in just a couple of moments. But when it comes to obesity, Doc, there's no way for you to know because you've only known me for, about 22 minutes. I was 70 pounds heavier this time last year. Mm-hmm. A little over 70 pounds. I've lost 70 pounds.
Yep.
I starved myself.
Yep.
Not a healthy way to do it. I've been told repeatedly over the last year that's not very safe. And I starved myself. And it worked. But now I'm fighting to keep it off.
Absolutely.
And I realize that as more and more I talk to people, it's everywhere. Everywhere people are fighting the battle of the bulge, if you want to be cute, I guess. But it's really... it's kind of universal, and you look at the weight gains as a graph and as a topographical map. Route 13 points south into Georgia, Alabama, the heaviest people in America.
Absolutely.
I guess you probably already knew that.
Yeah, I mean, when I came over here and I saw the maps of the counties within Southern Illinois, I mean, there is approximately up to 30% obesity rate within each county within Southern Illinois. So, obesity is a medical problem, and it's pretty significant in this part of the region.
Who's worse, male or females, when it comes to obesity? Because men and women have two different ideas of what they should look like. I mean, there's a double standard. Let's just be honest. Who is it harder to fight weight loss with?
I think it is. There is no medical reason for it to be different, but there are females who have other issues in hormonal, neurohormonal changes as far as their satiety and appetite is concerned, that might be a little bit harder to lose weight for them.
You know, there's some weird things. Men and women put weight on different places, too.
Absolutely.
And it seems like, just from personal experience, that it kind of depends from person to person, too. Some people are saddlebags. Some people are muffins over the top of the belt. Me, as a male, 6'4", it's belly fat.
Absolutely, yeah. In males, it's more central obesity. In females, it is usually diffuse. So there are different trends in which people gain weight in different genders.
When it comes to this, there's another kind of weight. There's the weight that we see on the outside of our bodies. And until I saw the x-rays and read a couple of stories, I had no idea that there were layers of fat in the basically from the sternum down to the belt line, we'll call it, for lack of a better word.
Absolutely.
These layers of fat that are between the organs.
Absolutely. There is fat between the skin and the muscles that you have in your body. Then there is fat around the organs. Which we call omentum. It does serve a function of protecting and providing some surface to the organs. But the size of this omentum, the size of the subcutaneous tissue fat that people have varies depending on the grade of obesity that they have.
Now, the human body says, I better put this away for later because I might need it. All right? The body, the fat that's inside the body, I mean, is the body saying, okay, I'm out of places to put it on the outside, I've got to put it in here, because this is the most unhealthy place you can have fat in the human body, because it causes dysfunction. I mean, what's the human body's idea when it puts it inside instead of on the butt?
Absolutely. It's just, it's very variable. Again, varying depending on your gender, on the hormonal aspects of your body, and your age. Where body deposits these fat, the extra fat that you have not processed, the calories that you take that have not been utilized in physical activity, your body deposits them in the form of fat. And as time goes by, it is these extra fat that is going to affect different organs in your body.
What is the effect, by the way?
So various medical problems start to arise as you gain more and more weight and develop medical problems like diabetes, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, coronary artery disease, which is heart problems. And then one of the most under-recognized problems is obstructive sleep apnea, a condition in which people have difficulty sleeping at night with snoring episodes, and they wake up in the morning very tired and sleepy at daytime work.
Right.
And those are all very strongly correlated with obesity.
And there's a chicken and egg thing on the sleep apnea thing that some people are thinking now, which came first, the fat or the apnea?
Absolutely.
Because you're not sleeping. Your body does a lot of cleanup work when it's sleeping. Dr. Terry Brown, kind of fascinating. If you have not met, certified sleep specialist here. Kind of interesting to discuss this with him, by the way. We've been talking about it on and off for a few years. All right. I've known friends that have had what was called at the time stomach stapling. This is your specialty. A bariatric surgeon, the New Life Weight Loss Center, Dr. Saeed Ajmal, is joining me this morning. Okay. I know people who've had this done. And we've seen it progress and grow and be refined. But there has to be, I mean, this is not, you don't go down and say, Doc, I'm fat, I want to lose some weight. This is not how a gastric bypass works. And we're going to get into why and the hows, because we've learned a lot about, instead of just going in and thinking it's like changing out the Mustang's transmission, right? This is not how the human body works, because a lot of that's that big gray thing up in the top of your skull.
Correct.
Standard for getting a bariatric surgery. What standards do you meet before you decide to pull the surgical solution?
Absolutely. So, as you very correctly pointed out, these surgeries have been around for more than 60 to 70 years now. And we have learned and tried to perfect how we can take care of patients with obesity. The field of bariatric surgery is now known as the field of bariatric and metabolic surgery, because as we are doing these surgeries and helping people lose weight, this is not just the weight loss, this is a complete change in their metabolism that we're trying to perform.
I find that interesting when you think about it, because I never thought about that.
Yeah.
If you've got a car and you're looking right now at the revolutions per minute, that's your car's metabolism.
Correct.
And when you tinker with the digestive system, the entire alimentary canal, your revolutions per minute change.
Absolutely.
I never thought about that. This is one of the things that's been a struggle for everybody on how to lose weight.
Yeah.
So take me from there.
But it is very important to recognize that surgery is just part of the equation. It is just a tool. And we as bariatric surgeons within our community keep on emphasizing this point that surgery is a tool. It is a very effective tool in helping you lose weight, but there are multiple aspects of helping you lose weight. And because of that reason, it is essential to come to a weight loss program where there is multidisciplinary aspects of helping you get that weight off.
We're talking about behavior here, aren't we?
Absolutely. Not only just behavior, but there are other things. So when you come to our program, which is the New Life Weight Loss Center, it is not just the surgeons who are present and will help you. There are bariatric nurses. There are bariatric registered dietitians, bariatric psychiatrists, and there are bariatric coordinators. And all of them help you in terms of losing your weight. They help you get some guidance in terms of what support groups you need to attend. And it becomes a multidisciplinary, multifaceted approach in which surgery is just a part.
All right, here's the problem. The thing that caused you to get fat is still there after you've changed the mechanics of the digestive tract. And sometimes, because you alluded to this, maybe it is medical cause, maybe it's something glandular. Maybe it's just behavior and, you know, food and depression and dopamine, and we like to be happy and we like to be satisfied, we like to be satiated. And then, of course, the foods we choose further complicate the issues. So when it comes to this, afterwards, very often I meet people who there's like how many different kind of four different kinds of bypass surgery, sleeves, and
right now there is two main types now.
Yeah.
Yes, there is the gastric bypass,
right,
and
which is considered the gold standard
of bariatric surgery. And then there is sleeve gastrectomy.
All right, and that's where there's a restriction.
Correct, where we resect a portion of the stomach to give some restriction to the patients.
All right. This is one of the items that afterwards I very often hear. I went to a restaurant, I had gastric bypass, I ate, then I went outside and got sick in the parking lot, and then I ate some more.
Absolutely.
And this is the story that I hear quite a lot, that behavior that I'm going to eat X amount and this is what I can do. I mean, but you think about this, I always think about this as the caveman solution. Caveman ate about what he could hold in one hand and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're looking for in the stomach. I think it's 4 ounces?
Yes.
And then people don't know what 4 ounces is, I guess, for lack Absolutely. Of a better word.
So I think a very important part of bariatric surgery and its program is education. And I think that is one of the things that we emphasize upon the most while we are preparing patients and patients are getting ready to undergo this life-changing procedure. It is very important to understand what dietary changes they have to make, what psychological aspects of their life they will have to modify after the surgery. The success of the surgery really relies on those behavioral changes, on those psychological changes that they will make before they undergo the procedure. So there is a very stringent criteria. We do have patients who medically, when they qualify for surgery, they have to attend support group meetings.
Aftercare.
Absolutely. They have to attend support group meetings to talk to other patients, talk to the professionals to understand what type of food they're going to eat afterwards, what foods they shouldn't eat afterwards, what kind of exercise regimen they should. So that when they lose that weight, which majority of the patients will, they keep that off for the rest of their life.
Do you really have to do aftercare for the rest of your life, or can you create a new groove for yourself after a certain point, months after bariatric surgery?
After bariatric surgeries, all the education that you have received in terms of the dietary changes and the exercise changes will help you lose a lot of weight.
Yeah.
But it is extremely important to continue doing those dietary changes and stay on a strict exercise regimen to keep that weight off. People can regain weight, and it does seem to be a problem, but this can only be avoided if you continue to make the dietary and exercise changes.
All right. What about, because we talked about metabolism, keeping that metabolism revved up while you're not eating as much seems to be one of the tricks.
Absolutely. So these surgeries do modify the metabolism, and the amount of calories that you are going to ingest after these surgeries is going to be less.
How much do you suggest for a day?
About 800 to 1,000. That's going to be much less than what usually is a requirement. So you're in a net negative balance, and that's how you lose your weight.
That's what I was shooting for.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's around 1,000, 1,200.
Yep.
And that's not easy.
That's correct.
A cup of coffee? Eh, not so bad. Start putting sugar and cream in it. It changes the whole thing. You think, oh, it's just coffee.
Yes.
It's not just coffee. I mean, you can get a cup of coffee some places, it's 500 calories in it.
That's correct.
Those lattes and things like that, it's really tough. And quite frankly, I don't know that I trust some of the labeling I run into. You know, I one of the products I'm fond of, 240 calories for lunch.
This is one of the environmental factors that has contributed towards the increase in obesity, all over the world. The amount of calories per item has almost doubled or tripled over the last 10 to 15 years.
Right.
So, these are environmental factors. These are external factors that are contributing towards obesity.
So, I always think about environment as being outside. I never think about this, that food as an environment.
Correct.
It is. It's part of our environment anyway. You know, just a few pounds of weight loss, I've noticed, does make a pretty substantial difference. I've got a couple of injuries, football injuries, an ankle, a knee that doesn't do so well. You lose 70 pounds, you start finding out the swelling stops and you're not as aggravated. Just, it really, and then the way you look at yourself.
Absolutely.
The psychology of this, and I don't think it's nostalgia. While I thought we all wanted to go back to what we looked like when we were in school or something like that, I don't think it's that. I really don't. But we want to look like the rest of the herd.
Yes, yes. Well, I agree. I mean, the looks are good, but the quality of life that changes towards the better after losing weight is remarkable. And that's really one of the things that fascinated me about bariatric surgery. The good outcomes in terms of bariatric surgery nowadays, and the feeling of satisfaction when patients come back and they're happy with not taking so many medications that they used to take for diabetes or high blood pressure or heart problems.
Imagine curing diabetes. I mean, right? You can actually change your weight so much that you no longer have diabetes. And there was a time when you thought, you have diabetes, you'll have it for the rest of your life, you're done. You know, that you've got diabetes, here's your insulin, have a nice day. I mean, I hear it now on a pretty regular basis. Well, I had diabetes. You had it and you don't have it anymore? Nope. Controlling the food.
Absolutely.
Bariatric, by the way. I had to go look it up because I'm thinking barometer. Bari is the Greek word for weight.
Correct.
So weight surgery, and there you go. That's how we got it. I was kind of curious. I was thinking Latin. What did that stand for? So I had to go to the Greek. Hey, Doc, it's good to meet you.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Dr. Saeed Ajmal, he is a bariatric surgeon, the New Life Weight Loss Center. I hope you enjoy Southern Illinois, number one. And I know that there's a lot of people out there that you know, because we've really kind of danced around this a little bit, so I'm going to stop dancing for just a moment. There comes a point where you're so heavy, you have so much weight, that your weight's going to kill you. How many really old people who are 200 pounds overweight do you know? Not many. In my personal experience, I don't know a lot of those people that are really old and weight. This is the kind of thing that kills people in America today. And this is the kind of solutions that we've been beginning to employ in the more drastic cases. So, you know, there are some standards that have to be met. You got to try to lose weight the regular ways first.
That is correct.
And you've got to put in. This is not. You go down and you look on the menu and say, "I'd like the gastric bypass, sir." There's got to be things that are done, standards that are met before this development's employed. And then the aftercare is crucial. You can't just say, okay, we're done. I'm repaired. I can go about my life and I'll never be fat again. It's not that kind of surgery. It's a package deal.
Absolutely. Yeah, the aftercare is extremely important. Again, the surgery is a very effective tool, but it is the care that you take of yourself, the dietary changes, the exercise regimen, and you stick to a plan after surgery. That's the only way you're going to keep that weight off.
Did you see that new report? I think it came out yesterday, day before yesterday. Just a little bit of exercise. A little bit of exercise. And I do mean a little. 5-10 minutes, you know, can make all the difference in your world and your life expectancy.
Absolutely.
Our standards have really changed. Doctor, it's really good to meet you. Dr. Ajmal.